Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
So once the British take Jerusalem, Lawrence has a little bit of a break from sort of desert warfare, right?
He
actually resides in Jerusalem. And although when they first entered, as we mentioned, he's got the a uniform of a major coupled together from somewhere or other, his rank is always a question exactly what he is. But he reverts back quite quickly to just wearing the Arab robes because it's in Jerusalem that he first comes across the American journalists.
Yes. Yes, Lowell Thomas, isn't
Lowell
it?
Lowell Thomas.
Yes.
And Harry Chase.
Oh, yeah, the photographer.
He's a photographer, cameraman, yeah. So this is the point where we've got to say that Lawrence becomes famous. He was already famous of a type within the British Army as this sort of extremely successful officer, staff officer, intelligence officer.
Yes.
But now he starts transcending into being famous back home.
Yeah.
In the end, world famous. Because Lowell Thomas shoots basically a documentary and takes loads of pictures of Lawrence over the course of a few months, actually, or so. And then later also writes a book about when he was with Lawrence in Arabia. And anyway, This legend of Lawrence grows up, and Lawrence wouldn't have known at the time that this one American journalist, what he was doing would blow up his star, because Lawrence Arabia becomes really, really famous.
A household name.
In his own lifetime.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we might know, well, we know, most people alive now, we might be watching this, be aware of Lawrence Arabia probably from the 1962 film.
Yes.
Right. So that brought it to a whole new audience. There was films and things, or a matinee film, or feature-length film, in the 20s, right, in the early 20s.
Mm.
And apparently everyone saw it. Apparently when it was shown, they were queuing around the block, and the cinema was full every single time it showed.
Yeah, I think they hosted it in Covent Garden originally, and then it went to the Royal Albert Hall and on. But I think over a million British citizens ended up attending it. And then Thomas took it on a more global tour. And I think it ended up being seen by about 4 million people.
Right.
Which back then,
for those
you
days.
Know, that was, yeah, quite extraordinary.
So he would have been a household name.
Mm.
So although he's sort of, pardon me, although he's sort of famous-ish now, a lot of people would have heard of him a few decades ago. Back then at the time, he was sort of touted as one of the main heroes of the war.
Mm.
Because there weren't that many heroes. Right.
Right,
particularly in the Western Front. It was just an endless list of casualties
yes.
and no heroes, particularly. Mm. So the way it often works, isn't it? Like the Prieto effect. One person ends up, one thing ends up getting nearly all the attention.
Sure.
It's just the way it works, always. Nearly.
Yes.
So Lawrence was like that guy. He was that lightning rod. And we'll talk about that after the war, when it all happens. But this is when he first meets Lowell Thomas. And Lowell Thomas knew that, straight away, that this was a story.
Mm.
So apparently he was walking along with, I think it might have been with Ronald Storrs, and he sees Lawrence walking along the street in Jerusalem with like an entourage of, like, I think Sudanese slaves and Arab followers, and this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy with the all-white robes and the golden headpiece and everything. And he says to Ronald Storrs something like, "Who's that?" Or something like that. And Ronald Storrs just says, "Oh, that's the uncrowned king of Arabia. That's T. Lawrence." And so anyway, it went from there. One of the things to say about it, though, is that both Thomas and Lawrence himself said that he never posed for any of the pictures. He was always just caught mid-action. And that's just not true. That can't be true.
No, I don't think. And also, Lawrence did insist that lots of photographs were taken of the leaders of the Arab rebellion, you know, that they be given their due credit and publicity that they were entitled to. But obviously, Thomas was much more interested in telling Lawrence's story and Lawrence's struggle. And obviously, conversely, the fact that all the time that Lawrence is fighting this war, Lowell Thomas is building him up as a hero, when Lawrence feels like anything but a hero. So there's this constant complexity within.
In one of the biographies, it says that basically Lawrence had, by this point, had some sort of deep distaste for himself.
Yes.
He sort of hated himself on some level for what he was doing. That's why he keeps taking more and more risks, if anything. Just to finish up on the Lowell Thomas thing, it was thought of as kind of disgraceful in those days to be a self-publicist. Nowadays, we don't have that at all. You're encouraged to be a self-publicist, narcissist, you know, like TikTok and, and social media influencers. It's all a big ego trip, right? And there's no problem with that. There's no social stigma. It's like, go for your life.
Yeah.
Try as hard as you want. It's like, no one cares. But back then, if you were thought of or seen of as a self-publicist, it was a bit disgraceful. So it was sort of in Lawrence's interest to pretend that Harry Chase had just sort of captured him without his,
of course,
without him knowing and stuff. But actually, they were staged portraits, a lot of these photos. We'll put some of them up so you can see for yourself. And it was in Lowell Thomas's interest to pretend that he was just sort of tagging along and was just sort of seeing things. In his book, he writes it as though he rode with Lawrence behind enemy lines.
Yes.
Under fire against Turks. But he never did.
No.
Lawrence later said, he never rode with me. In fact, he's written out of Seven Pillars of Wisdom entirely. Lowell Thomas and Harry Chase aren't mentioned in Seven Pillars. But it's a big part of the story. It's a big part of the story. It really is. So that time in Jerusalem, so that's a great success. The momentum is now firmly with the Allies and against the Ottoman. But there's still a long way to go.
Oh, yes.
Still a long way to go and many fights to be had. It's around this stage, the next sort of raids that happen, where Lawrence has sort of become a little bit jaded with some of the how the Arabs fight and what they do. So he asks for or gets some armoured cars. And I think they're like Rolls Royces.
Yeah, I think he's sticking.
Or certainly Rolls Royce engines.
Yes.
Big old, you'll see them, they're like big chitty chitty bang bang style. Well, it's like it's 1917, right. 1918. So they're primitive automobiles, but beautiful machines.
Of course.
But big, heavy, armoured cars. And, like, he takes with him loads of explosives and machine guns. And because if the ground is okay that the cars can go across, that's better than camels. Having professional British soldiers drive these armoured cars behind enemy lines and doing hit-and-run raids, if as long as the cars can go across the ground, because, you know, you can't get these cars up sand dunes and things.
Of course.
But that's really, I mean, what does that remind you of? Armoured cars deep behind enemy lines in the desert, manned by British people with heavy machine guns hitting and raiding things.
Well, if they're Australian, well, because of the Australian divisions fighting the war, I would say it reminds me of Mad Max.
Oh, right. yeah. But also, what the SAS did, the Long Range Desert Patrol Group in North Africa in World War II. It's a lot different. By World War II, they're sort of Jeeps or Land Rovers type things with twin Vickers machine guns. And they've refined it and it's moved on 20 years or whatever. But that's sort of what David Sterling did. And of course, he got the idea from Lawrence. Of course, again, just one more thing, one more innovation Lawrence did in war. It's like, well, why depend on these pretty undependable Bedouin soldiers who aren't great? They're actually quite good shots. That is one thing. Mm. Apparently they're quite good marksmen, but they can't be relied upon in a number of ways. And camels, you have to water them and let them graze, and they're not that fast. They still just plod along.
Right.
An armoured car with machine guns on it. Turn up out of nowhere.
On the Turkish lines, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Turn up out of nowhere. Like, do a massive drive-by, essentially. and then speed off again. That's sort of what the SAS were doing in the deserts of Libya in World War II.
I'm also right in thinking that this is where the RAF starts to play a bit more of a crucial role in the war as well. Reconnaissance flights of... even when he was back at the intelligence office in Cairo back in those days, I think Lawrence played an instrumental part also in perfecting taking photographs from the planes in order for scouting and reconnaissance missions, particularly during the time of the Gallipoli campaign. So this is now the RAF is becoming more instrumental as well in fighting in the East.
One tiny point, because I know Fedor Tippers out there will say it. It's not actually the RAF yet. It's still because there's no Royal Flying Service.
Mm.
That isn't created until just after the war. So it's connected to the army. And I think they called it like the Royal Flying Corps or something.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a tiny yes. little
pedantic
point. But yeah, it's interesting to note that we talk about Harry Chase and Lowell Thomas as taking photos. Lawrence took loads of photos.
Oh, yeah, he loved photography.
Yeah, and photography was still fairly primitive, wasn't it, still? But the things he was brought up with was bicycles, riding bicycles and mending bicycles, and photography. For some reason, his father was really interested in it, and he passed that on to all his sons.
Mm.
And so there's some pictures, photographs of Faisal and the Arabs that Lawrence took already back in 1916 that are miraculous photos, right? Lawrence took a lot of photos himself. In fact, after the war, he's still very, very interested in it, right?
Right.
His passions are motorbikes.
Yes.
And photography.
Yes.
So, yeah, which is odd because and engines and stuff. We'll talk a bit about this a bit later where he fixes one of the cars at Princeton. That's not normal. Like, if he was an officer, because now he's something between a major and a colonel or something. He gets another promotion quite soon. And he gets awarded, he's got medals. He gets a DSO, doesn't he? Distinguished Service Order. We'll talk about that in a moment. And knighted, becomes Order of the Bath. Again, we'll talk about that in a moment. Those types of people, if you're a knight of the Bath and a colonel, you don't tinker with engines. Right? It's not done.
Being a mechanic is beneath you.
Working class men tinker with engines. Tinkering with engines is like clearing up the horse poo. Right. Now, the officer and the gentleman rides the horse and someone lowly clears up after it. That's what mechanics were thought of.
Of course.
Another thing to mention at this point is the immediate entourage around Lawrence that he builds around himself.
Oh, yes.
Right.
All the bodyguards. And
yeah.
Yeah. Because obviously after Dera, that he thinks, I can't just walk about on my own. He actually does learn.
There's a price on his head, right?
Yeah, a bounty of about, 20,000 lira, whatever the Turkish currency was. Yeah.
Yeah, 20,000 alive, 10,000 dead.
Yes.
So the Turks want him big time. So he decides this stuff of going behind enemy lines on your own or in a two or something, you're not going to do that anymore.
No.
So there's two things to mention. His actual band of cutthroats, that's what they're actually called.
The scum of the earth.
Yeah.
Like actual scum of the Arab world.
About 90 guys, which isn't inconsiderable. 90 guys. It's not like six dudes. It's 90 guys. It's quite a lot. And he takes like the worst, most crazy dudes. Even the Bedouin Arabs, who are kind of crazy cutthroats themselves. And for them, they're the outcasts and the maddest ones. So Lawrence creates this sort of band completely outside the rules of like how the British army is done.
Right.
Completely off the books. And he equips them with like a Lewis gun or a Hotchkiss machine gun, one of those for every two men. So 45 odd, like Vickers machine guns or something, in this band of 90 guys. That's incredible firepower.
Crazy.
That's madness.
Yeah, good luck getting to Lawrence now.
40 fully automatic belt-fed type machine guns blasting away at something. Yeah, he can defend himself in the desert against all comers there, short of perhaps a full Turkish division.
Right.
So that's massively well-armed. And then the other thing to mention is his two sort of personal valets he's got. They've actually been following him around for a while already, but we haven't mentioned them since
before the Aqaba campaign. Yeah, is it Daoud and Farage?
Yeah.
And
two boys.
Yeah, who I think are played really characterfully and very accurately to how Lawrence describes them in the film. Even though their fates are slightly different. In the film version, Daoud is taken into a sinkhole and killed in that when he's trying to cross the Sinai after the Aqaba campaign. But actually, by this point in the story, Daoud has actually died, because whilst the winter was happening in Dera, whilst Lawrence was in Dera, Daoud died in the winter, froze to death. Mm. And apparently after that time, Farage, who'd been such a jolly, happy, young, sweet, innocent boy, apparently Lawrence said he never smiled for the rest of the war, you know, because they'd been inseparable. They were like an Arab Merry and Pippin, you know, who just lived together their entire lives and done everything together. And and so for one to lose the other was, just a remarkable loss.
So we describe them as boys, but they're grown men, just very young.
Yeah.
Right? They're something like 18 or 20 years old sort of thing. So they're grown guys, but they're still just boys. And at one point, they're really naughty, right? They keep playing loads and loads of practical tricks on people.
Yeah.
There's one trick where you come up behind someone on a camel and sort of whip the camel's back or something at the right moment and force the camel to sort of run into a tree or something. Things like this. And they just they just fool around and make people laugh. And, but they're actually fiercely loyal to Lawrence. Again, like his valets, anything he wants or needs, they'll do.
Yes.
Like if they stop and they're going to make some coffee or something, they'll do it all for him. There's no suggestion that there's any sort of sexual relationship, but it's really... they're really, really close as a unit.
Yes.
So sometimes that happens, especially sort of in war. You have sort of a buddy system. And sometimes your best friend becomes your sort of ultra, ultra best friend, and you're inseparable. And if and when he gets killed, it's like half of you just got killed.
Yeah.
And yeah, Dale just froze to death. That's another thing to say about deserts. Deserts, the difference in temperature often between the day and the night is incredible. So the day can be blazingly hot, some of the hottest places on the planet. And in the night, it's absolutely freezing cold, like you'll get frostbite or freeze to death. And in the winter as well, obviously even worse. So you think, how can you freeze to death in Arabia? Well, in winter, at night.
Yeah,
you can, totally can.
Yeah.
So that's just sort of really sad. Lawrence beats himself up for it.
Yeah, he does.
Because Daoud had been on some sort of mission that Lawrence had sent him on, some sort of other raid or whatever. And he'd been really close, like his friend. Because Lawrence has got like this, it says, we've told a number of times, he's got sort of a type of undergraduate hijinks sense of humour. He doesn't sort of allow his sense of humour to come out much, certainly in the desert, on behind enemy lines. But still, his actual default sense of humour is sort of puerile and silly.
Yes, it is.
And doing pranks on people. So with these two boys, Daoud and Farage, they're the only two he could sort of open up to and be sort of normal, be himself with.
Yeah.
So when one dies, he's terribly distraught.
If you'd like to see the full version of this premium video, please head over to lotuseaters.com and subscribe to gain full access to all of our premium content.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.